To have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Ephesians. I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word tonight, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we're very keenly aware of our weakness and our frailty and our dependence upon Thee. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. We thank Thee for sparing our lives, the lives of our family and friends, through another day. We thank You for the blessings that have been ours during the day. We thank You for the felt presence of Thy Spirit in the worship service this morning. And we pray that You would help us all as children of God, that we would work and labor together to Thy name's honor and glory. We ask Thee to give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion. Help us to know exactly what to do and what to say in every situation. We pray again now that You would bless all of those who are sick and afflicted. We're thankful that several that have been sick are doing better. Thank You especially that Sister Pat Sylvester is out of the hospital and making progress, and pray that You would continue to be with her. Pray that You would bless the others that are facing surgery. Bless Brother Darrell tomorrow as he has the heart cath. We pray that You would give us a good report there and bless him to soon be feeling much better. Pray that You would comfort the families of those who have lost loved ones. Give them a special measure of Thy grace. Pray that You would bless those that are having family trouble. You would help them to feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Pray that You would bless those that are on the wrong path, that You would help them to get back into fellowship with You and fellowship with the church and fellowship with Thy people. Pray again now that You would bless Brother Jamie and Sister Bethany in the wedding Saturday. We pray that You would be with them and help them and guide them and direct them by Your Spirit. Pray again now that You would bless all of Thy people the world over. There are so many who stand in special need of Thy help. Pray that You especially bless those that are having treatments for cancer, that You would touch them and heal them and restore them to their health. We thank You for blessing some that have been on the prayer list for cancer that are healed of the cancer. We thank You and we praise You and give You the honor and the glory for that healing. Thank You for others that have had other kinds of troubles and problems that are doing better. Again, now bless us this night. Help us to feel the presence of the Spirit of God. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning we tried to look at the verse of Scripture that says in Matthew chapter 22, "What think ye of Christ?" What do you think of Christ? Tonight, the subject that's on my heart is still more about Jesus. Songwriter says, "More about Jesus I would know." And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, there's a statement that's made there that I want us to look at primarily tonight. For the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and Paul says, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." I want us to think about that expression that Paul said that he had the privilege, he had the grace. God had called him, in spite of the fact that he was a sinner, that God had called him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, the question we looked at this morning is, what think ye of Christ? And one thing that I can declare to you from the Word of God is that Christ, here's something we ought to think about Christ and we ought to know about Christ, is that Christ is rich. Christ is rich. He created everything in this world. The Bible says the cattle of 1,000 hills are His. God just speaks things into existence. Christ Jesus is rich. But He's rich in ways that you and I sometimes don't think about. In fact, as we study the Word of God, we find that the Word of God emphasizes riches in Christ Jesus that are different than what we normally think of as riches. The Word of God says that Paul said here that he was called to preach the unsearchable. And I wrote down the two definitions of unsearchable. Unsearchable means past finding out. Now I think there are probably some men in this world, you take Bill Gates, probably his material riches are past finding out. They're unsearchable. Used to, when I was a young boy, there were others that we thought of as being millionaires, and we thought of them as being so rich that they couldn't even count all of the money that they had. Well, that's what the Word of God is telling us about the riches of Christ, is that they are past finding out. You cannot measure how rich Christ is. And the particular ways that the Word of God says that Christ is rich are defined even in the book of Ephesians. Back up just a moment in Ephesians chapter 2 and look at the first thing that the Word of God says here. There are several things that the Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians. There are several ways that the Word of God tells us about Christ or about God being rich. In Ephesians chapter 2, after the Word of God has talked about our condition in a natural state, then it tells us what God has done for us, and it says, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Now, had you ever thought about you being rich in mercy? Are you rich in mercy? The question is not, are you rich in mercy? But the real question is Christ rich in mercy? Is Christ rich in mercy? Is His mercy unsearchable? Are His riches in His mercy unsearchable? Are His riches in His mercy past finding out? Brethren, I can declare to you that just in my own personal life, that God has been so rich in mercy to me that it's past finding out. And when you begin to look at all of the family of God and you think about the riches of the mercy of God that have been manifested to all of God's people, certainly we can see and know that God is rich in mercy. And we need to thank God that He is rich in mercy. I'm glad that He doesn't have just as much mercy as I have sometimes, because sometimes I run out of mercy. Is that the way it is with you sometimes? Are there people sometimes that you just reach your end and you are not willing to be merciful any longer? I want you to know the Bible says that God is rich in mercy. And I need to thank God, and you need to thank God, that that's one of the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus, is that He is rich in mercy. And it's because He is rich in mercy that we are not cast into eternal hell. The unsearchable riches of Christ contain the unsearchable riches of His mercy. And then the word of God says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His," what's the next two words there? This is in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us." Now, He's not only rich in mercy, but He is rich in love. How can you measure the love of God? That songwriter says the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. What's he talking about? He's talking about something that's past finding out. He's talking about the unsearchable riches, not just of the mercy of God, but the unsearchable riches of the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. You can read all about the love of God. You can read John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and yet we can't even comprehend that. But the riches of the love of God are past finding out. That's the unsearchable riches of the love of God. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest love, the Bible says, that Jesus says, that the greatest love that a man can ever have is that he would lay down his life for his friend. Now that's the great love of man. That's as great as the love of man can ever get. And there have been men that have laid down their lives. There have been men that have laid down their lives for this country. They loved their country so much they laid down their lives for this country. There have been men and women that have laid down their lives. Their love for their family has been so great that they have laid down their lives for their family. But that's the greatest love that a man can ever have, is that a man would lay down his life for who? For his friends. For his friends. That's as far as the love of a man can go. But the love of God is past finding out. The love of God is greater than Jesus laying down his life for his friends, because the Bible says that while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. That's love that's past finding out. That shows some, to some degree, it describes. It doesn't show because it's past finding out. But it describes the love of God, that it's beyond our comprehension, that God would love beyond anything we can ever love. I can never love like Jesus loved. Not to the degree, because His love is past finding out. The love of God. The mercy of God. Notice now in verse 7. And still in Ephesians chapter 2, after He's talked about the great love and He's talked about the riches in mercy, in verse 7, the Word of God says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The riches of His what? Are mentioned in verse 7? The riches of His what? Grace. The riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. Now, how rich is Christ? Paul says in Ephesians 3:8 that God had called Him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. And when Paul was preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, he was preaching about the unsearchable riches of God's mercy. And he was preaching about the unsearchable riches of the love of God. And then in verse 7 here he says, he's preaching about the unsearchable riches of the grace of God. The grace of God. We sing that song, and probably my favorite song is Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Brethren, the grace of God is amazing. God is rich. You notice the wording in verse 7 that he shows the exceeding riches of his grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Has God been good to you? Has God been kind to you? Well, that's one of the ways. The Bible says here that's one of the ways that He shows His exceeding greatness and the riches of His grace toward us. The exceeding riches of His grace. Are the riches of Christ unsearchable? Are they past finding out? Can you think of the awesomeness of a man being called to preach, like Paul was called to preach, and to get up and try to preach about the unsearchable riches of Christ? To try to preach and describe the riches of His mercy and His love and the riches of His grace. It's beyond what a man can do. It's beyond what a man can comprehend. We can talk about it. We can read about it. We can feel the amazing riches of His mercy and His love and His grace in our lives. But to describe it and to clearly explain it to someone is impossible for us to do. The unsearchable riches of His mercy, the unsearchable riches of His love, and the unsearchable riches of His grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Put a dollar value on your salvation. Can anybody describe how much your eternal salvation is worth? I hear people sometimes occasionally say, I've even read articles sometimes that great men of God have written talking about how much money it takes to save souls in other countries. I want you to know, brethren, the Word of God says that we're not redeemed with corruptible seed, and we're not redeemed with silver and gold, but we're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. One drop of the blood of Christ is worth more than all the gold and silver that's in this world. And it's not money that brings about eternal salvation, but it's the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Blessed be the God, Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, the Scripture says here, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, as according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Are you thankful to know this morning, tonight, are you glad to know that God chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world? Did you know there are some truths in God's Word like this, that when I begin to talk to some people in our community, even pastors in our community, and God begins to show them things like this, they marvel that God chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We hear doctrines like this all of our lives, and we take it for granted that everybody sees it and has read it and has understood it. And the fact is, brethren, I don't believe that most of God's children know and understand that God loved them from before the foundation of the world. God chose them in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. That's a wonderful truth that we need to thank God for. God loved you before the foundation of the world. God chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Before you had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. According to His rich mercy, He chose us. Isn't that marvelous? And then in verse 5 He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His what?
Grace.
The riches of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Let me just pause right here and tell you that the Word of God never, from Genesis through Revelation, the Word of God never calls on you to accept Jesus Christ. Those words are not in the Word of God. God has not called on you to accept Christ, but rather the Word of God declares that God has made you accepted in the Beloved. Made you accepted. You were passive. You were dead, and God came because of His rich mercy and His love and His grace, and He chose you and He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. You were born a Jew, weren't you? Can God save a Jew? Oh. Listen, brethren. It's amazing what God does, isn't it? If we just knew much about ourselves, we would just absolutely be amazed that God has saved us. I believe that in the resurrection, in the final resurrection, I believe that God's going to show us just how wretched we were and what it took to save us from our sins. Because I don't think we can comprehend it here. We can read the Word of God. We can read about the grace of God. We can read about the riches of His grace and the riches of His mercy and the riches of His love. But sometimes it's like water on a duck's back because we can't fully comprehend it. That's what the Scripture says when it says it's unsearchable. It's past finding out. We can't comprehend the riches of His grace and His mercy and His love. And now come down to verse 7. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I've never noticed until this week all that the Word of God has to say about how rich Christ is. The riches of His mercy and His grace and His love. The riches. All the riches that the Bible speaks about that are in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians 3:8. That's what God had called him to preach, was the unsearchable riches of His grace and His mercy and His love and His glory and His power. And the list goes on and on. The unsearchable riches of His good works. How many good works has He performed? Is he full of unsearchable good works? Oh, we can read the Word of God, and the Word of God says But even when you read all these good works that he did here, he says, now, if everything that he did were to be written down, the books could not contain all that Jesus did. The wonderful good works of Christ are unsearchable. You cannot, they're past finding out. All the good things Jesus did while he was in the flesh, even during his ministry of 3 years, if all that were to be written down, we could not comprehend the riches of his good works. And of his faith, his total faith in God. He was rich in faith toward God. He never doubted the love of the Father. Jesus was rich in good works and he was rich in faith. Go with me to John chapter 1. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1 and verse 14 and see another area that the Word of God emphasizes that Jesus is rich in. John chapter 1, the first verse says, John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read the first three verses and then come down to verse 14, but I want you to remember that what we're looking at coming to is verse 14. But I want you to understand that we're talking about Jesus. In John chapter 1, the gospel according to John, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, I want all of you to remember there's the written Word, there's the preached Word, and then there's the living Word. And that living Word is Jesus Christ. And that's what this is talking about. In the beginning of this world, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus was in the beginning. And He was God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You explain all that. How can He be with God and be God? The triune God is past your finding out. The unsearchable depth. In Him, in Christ Jesus, the Word of God says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, that's the unsearchable riches of Christ right there. He was with God and He was God. He says in verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 says, and the Word, now who is the Word? That's Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How much grace was in Christ Jesus? He was full of grace and truth. There's two things that the Word of God says here, that He was rich in grace, and He was rich in truth. He was full of grace and He was full of truth. How much truth was in Jesus? He was full of truth. He was full of truth. Well, how much truth is that? That's more truth than you can comprehend. The unsearchable truth that was in Christ Jesus is beyond what we can explain or comprehend. That's what Paul was called on to preach, and that's what every preacher has been called on to preach, is the unsearchable riches of Christ, the unsearchable riches of His mercy, of His love, of His grace, of His glory, the unsearchable riches of His good works, the unsearchable riches of His power, the unsearchable riches of His grace. Here the Word of God says He was full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. Now, there's something else that the Word of God says that He was full of, and I want you to turn, richness of, turn to Romans chapter 2. Let me ask you this, before you turn there, or you can go ahead and be turning there, let me ask you this, do you think you ever despise anything about the riches of Christ? Is there anybody here that thinks you would ever despise anything about the riches of Christ Jesus? I would have said absolutely not. I love the riches of Christ Jesus. I don't think I would ever despise anything about the riches of Christ Jesus. But I'm telling you, there are times that you despise the riches of Christ Jesus. Look at this now. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Listen, please, to verse 3. You know what God is talking about here? Before I read it, let me explain it to you, and then I'll read it and you see if this is exactly what He's saying. In Romans chapter 2, the Word of God is condemning people who judge people who have been doing the same thing. In other words, they judge a man for adultery, and he's been committing adultery himself, the one that's carrying out the judgment. The man that's carrying out judgment for drunkenness has been being a drunkard himself. God's Word condemns that. And now the Scripture says here in Romans chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" You hear what God is asking him here? He says, you think that when you commit a sin, and then you turn around and judge someone else for committing that same sin, do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? You're wrong. So what does he say in verse 3? Verse 3 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering?" Does everybody hear this now? God's asking his people, he's asking the children of God, do you despise the goodness of God? Do you despise the forbearance of God? Do you despise God being long-suffering? Do you despise that? In your life, you despise Him being long-suffering with you? Oh, thank you, Brother David. Exactly the point. No, we never despise the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering of God in our lives. We want God to be long-suffering and forbear with us and to be good to us. Now, when it comes to other people, we're ready for God to bring His judgment and bring it swiftly. And when He doesn't bring it swiftly, what do? We despise what? The riches. That's the wording here. Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and His long-suffering? Do you despise the goodness, long-suffering, and forbearance of God? If you despise that, understand you're going to receive the kind of judgment you're wanting to be immediately poured out on someone else. You despise the goodness and long-suffering and forbearance of God? The riches, do you hear the wording there? The riches of His goodness and His forbearance and His long-suffering. I'm quite frankly very thankful that God is rich in His goodness, in His mercy, in His grace. I'm glad that God is rich in His long-suffering with His people. If that were not the case, America would have been wiped off the map a long time ago. If it were not true that God is rich in His goodness and in His mercy and in His love and in His forbearance and in Him being long-suffering, if it were not true that God was that way, you and I would be cast away forever. Can we become a castaway? Can God cast away His people in this world? Can He cast them away? Absolutely. Do you despise the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering of God? Go ahead and despise it if you like. But quite frankly, when we read the Word of God, we'll be thankful for the riches of His goodness and for the riches of His forbearance and for the riches of Him being long-suffering. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at this just a moment further. In 2 Peter chapter 3, talking about the riches of Him being long-suffering, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Word of God speaks further on that same subject and talks about how rich God is in being long-suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Word of God says, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise." Now he's been promising, and if you back up to the beginning of this chapter, Peter is telling us that Jesus has promised that He's going to come back and judge the world. And at this point in 2 Peter chapter 3, He has not come and carried out the judgment that He's talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3, the first few verses. "And some have begun to mock and say, 'Where is the promise of His coming? Because since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were since the foundation of the world.'" And Peter then says, he says in chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise." Well, why? 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ, why had God not already destroyed the Jewish nation? Why had God not already brought His judgments on those people who had crucified Jesus Christ? There is only one reason, and that's because God is rich in His long-suffering. Look at this verse now, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to... What's the next word there? To usward. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Brethren, except we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Do you despise the riches of Him being long-suffering? If you want to be rash and harsh in your judgment towards someone, just fasten your seatbelt, because you'll find just how difficult it is when God deals with us the same way we deal with others. Because the Scripture does say that with the same judgment that you judge, you're going to be judged. And if you ever say, well, this is unforgivable and I will never forgive and this is unpardonable, I want you to know you're walking down a very dangerous path when you say that. Every one of us here. There's not 10 cents worth the difference in all of us together. Did you know that? At one point in time, on April the 10th, 2010, there may be one person having, or 10 people having, a particular problem in this area. You wait 6 months, and some of you that are not having the problem today is going to have a problem then. You wait a year, and the rest of us in a year's time, we're all going to probably have had this problem of not being as long-suffering as we should. Is God long-suffering? He's rich. And how thankful I am that He's rich in mercy. He's rich in love. He's rich in grace. He's rich in forbearance. He's rich in His goodness. He's rich in His good works. He's rich in faith. He's rich in every good way that the Word of God ever describes. May God help us to realize something about the depth of the riches of Christ Jesus, is my prayer for Christ's sake.